Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
Did you see the Eagles?
Did see the Eagles. I haven't checked on them today, though.
Oh my god, dude, there's snow there. That eagle is buried in snow.
Okay, Big Bear Eagle Cam live nest. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh my gosh,
see?
This is amazing. All right, we'll drop the link. We're going to have to let everyone know that we are on not Philadelphia Eagle Watch, real bald eagle watch.
These are real eagles. It's a mama eagle with their baby eagles. And oh my god, there's blood from fish there.
God bless America and the bald eagle.
But not Lee Greenwood.
The internet. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get into the huddle.
There's the little chicks. All right. We got to get to work.
Okay. Focus. What's all top right. of mind for you this week?
It's been on rebuilding and people needing to rebuild their networks. I wrote a blog post on it earlier today, and which I'm going to link to later. But it may not feel like it, but this is a time to build and to rebuild. So that's kind of top of mind just because I know you and I both know actually a lot of people that are going through so much and the energy it takes to do this, but it's also like the best time to do it.
Yeah, it's wild how many people are out of work, looking for new work,
looking to get out of their work.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild left and right. So that's a really good thing to talk about, rebuilding and also just like reconnecting, right? So on that note, my huddle this week is I actually reconnected with an old Happy Cog colleague, Ross Unger.
Hmm.
So he reached out to me. He runs Chicago camps and an event series, and he asked me to do a tent talk, which is basically a video podcast interview with him. So we'll drop a link to that. I talked all about Team Angle.
He's doing okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Russ seems like he's doing really well. We got to talk kind of like between questions and afterward. It was really good catching up with him.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's get into this week's review. We had two of our Team Angle book articles on communication and importantly on shared language, which is so important. And I thought it was interesting about that these came up because you and I actually in talking to a friend and someone who's helping us, we actually had to stop the conversation and say, we need to make sure we're using the same language, right? Because it was clear that we weren't. And man, so important. So there's the two Team Angle articles for you. And then Brett, you wrote a response post on middle management and some of the problems that are going on there. So we tell us about it.
Yeah. So kind of the gist is, you know, middle management used to be the path to leadership, right? But there's this article by this woman, Pavithra Mohan. Oh my gosh, I butchered that.
Mm-hmm.
That basically kind of nails the problem. Like managers aren't failing, companies are failing managers, right? Because now middle management is this stress-filled, thankless job that nobody wants. And really, companies have been stacking impossible expectations on managers for years and not giving them the training or the support to actually be truly successful in it. So it turns out the burnout cycle is real. And guess what? Gen Z doesn't want to be middle managers because they see what it's doing to people who are in those roles currently. So
fight the good fight, Gen Z.
Yeah, exactly. Good move. Like I feel like people in my generation have felt like pressure to take those roles.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know people who have gotten into those roles because they felt like that was the natural step, only to figure out it's not for me or for someone else to tell them, hey, this is not for you. So it's interesting. Just like, in my opinion, so much wrong happening in the world of leadership, from leadership in government to leadership in these large organizations making shitty decisions about what their companies believe and their policies, to trickling down to other leaders in organizations and middle managers who really have the opportunity to coach and train up then they're kind of like new middle managers, but they're not able to do it because what are they modeling and where are the resources for them to do better? So I want to talk about how we fix it today. How's that sound?
All right, let's fix it.
I don't want this
it.
To be
let's
all doom and gloom, right? Right. So just to kind of like start, you know, in your career in management, I'm curious, like, what's one thing that you wish someone had told you before you became a manager?
I think it's maybe it's like a twofer. It's kind of like knowing when to ask for help or ask for an example, right? Because I feel like a lot of myself and a lot of people that I know, I've been in situations where I go to ask, you know, kind of, what are you looking for? What are your expectations? And a bad leader, I've actually had this said to me, is I don't want to tell you because I don't want to just give you a checklist. When the intent was, I'm not looking to check things off. I'm just trying to get an idea of, you know, what you think good is. And right. So that's kind of not exactly answering your question, but it's, I wish that the people that I worked for or worked under, that they would be able to illustrate or show me, you know, what you want. Like, what, just show me an example, right? Give me an example and I can go from there. But otherwise, you know, myself, I just flail all over the place and actually causes me a great deal of anxiety of just trying to feel like I have to guess what you're thinking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's so many lessons learned as a manager. It's like, yeah, there's tons of things that people could have told you, but it's also really dependent on the situation you're in and the people and personalities that you're dealing with. But I mean, for me, a big lesson, if I'm able to answer my own question, is, and I mentioned this in the Chicago camps talk with Russ, is like, it's the, don't let any company let you believe that the team is like a family. It's such a horrible path to take. I mean, I wish someone in my younger days could have told me to draw better boundaries between work and personal life, and don't be so concerned about what those work relationships look like outside of the office, because that's not really what matters.
And it doesn't transfer, or it doesn't, in other words, those relationships
stay the same.
Yeah, right? they'll change, right?
Yeah, exactly. So one of the points that the article makes is that, like I mentioned earlier, Gen Z are turning up promotions or like avoiding promotions because they don't like the way the management role looks, because people are miserable and burnt out. And I'm curious, have you ever been in a situation where you'd avoid that promotion? Because personally, I have never been in a place where I thought, ooh, I don't want to rise. I don't want to keep climbing the ladder or advance in my career. But I know people in other industries who absolutely will avoid management for a number of different reasons.
Yeah. I don't know that I don't know that I've ever turned down a promotion, but I haven't sought certain promotions. So like, for example, when I was an executive director at USAA, that was enough for me, because my boss, who's the chief design officer, she didn't do anything related to design at all. And I used to see the documents she was working on and kind of on her desk when I'd go into one-on-ones, and I'd be able to, her desk faced the wall, so you could kind of see it was on our monitor. She was in the most boring meetings, 10 to 12 hours a day, that had nothing to do with anything that we did in the chief design office. And it's like, I kind of draw the line at, I didn't want the board seat or the executive seat at a certain level, because you just simply, you're in meetings, you're in nonstop meetings, right? And it's like, you get all that money, but you're also at the beck and call of people, right? You have to translate the work that you're group does into some kind of data in a spreadsheet or a really shitty PowerPoint or both. You know, it's just like,
right,
that's not the kind of work I want to do. You know, just
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So in some ways, what you're saying, it's about recognizing your strengths and recognizing what gives you energy, because a leadership role can really drain you in a lot of places, especially.
But there are other times too,
creatively minded.
There's other times that I have, like this role at USAA, I thought, funny enough, the organization was so big, I was being interviewed for a director job and an executive director job. Very different, you know, positions. And I started to kind of wonder, like, do I have the chops to do this? And I knew from experience, this is for all the Gen Z and anybody else, the reason I went and took the job when it was offered to me is because, even though I didn't feel 100% about it, I thought, you know what? If I don't take this, some other dipshit is going to, that doesn't know as much as I do, and I'm going to end up working for them and likely having to do their job too, or some facet of it. So I may as well do the job and figure it out for myself.
I want to shift the conversation a little bit, because the topic is really about, like, what we're talking about is like fixing things, right? I want to get at some solutions. And to me, the solutions probably lie in the way that a lot of organizations train and support managers.
Or they don't.
Or don't at all. Yeah. So I guess if, you know, we could talk about training and development programs, we could talk about budgets, we could talk about coaching and mentorship, better leadership practices. What are the things that you think could actually change the way that we're creating new leaders for the next generation or even the next few years?
So it still boggles my mind that especially larger companies don't have some kind of operations manual for management and above, right? Kind of like, just here's the core, here's the fundamentals, right? I mean, that's why we exist, because this stuff doesn't exist.
The framework for your role as a leader.
Exactly. And even things like, here's how to engage with your people on a one-on-one basis and a team basis. I don't understand why that doesn't exist, so that you've got consistency from one manager to the other for, like, let's say 60 to 80% of the role, right? And then the other should be management, training, and mentorship for what makes that department or the work unique, right?
Yeah.
Because situations that arise in places will be different depending upon the work that's being done, but there's also like half of it which will be the same no matter what you're doing.
I like what you're saying. You're basically saying there should be very clear expectations of the leader role, and it should come down to your expectation is you're conducting this many one-on-ones on this routine, you're doing this many performance reviews, you're on top of whatever other work you are doing in that role. Right.
Yeah.
But then what I really love about that is the expectations that it gives me as an employee to my leader. Because I think when you think about that dynamic and that relationship, obviously the power is in the leader's hands. So as an employee, if my leader is sporadic about one-on-one meetings or even just communication with me, I don't know what to do and I don't know how to approach that person. And if I don't know how to approach that person, how am I ever going to grow? If I'm like vying for their attention just to get work done, then what happens with the development portion of the conversations we should be having? I think that's a really good solution.
It also gives the people that are looking to maybe one day be in that role, it gives them a better idea of what is required to do that job. Persons that have worked with you and I in other companies, I remember one in particular, she got into a people manager role. And I talked to her about a year into it and asked, you know, how's it going? And she said, just kind of eyes rolled over, and she shared about how it's a lot harder than it looks, right? Because there's so much work that you do as a manager that doesn't get exposed to the team, right? Or other individuals. And, you know, that could be small stuff like figuring out a client problem or a workflow problem, but can also be some pretty big stuff too. Like there's been a huge HR infraction that has some legal connotation to it, you know, that like some things can get pretty serious when you're a manager. That you never see it, you never hear about it, but those folks have to get through it nonetheless, and often without the proper support that they need.
So I guess to kind of like circle back to where we started, you know, the kind of TLDR on this is really that if today's leaders don't invest in shaping better leaders, the future is going to look exactly like the mess that we're in now.
Yeah, we're just going to continue.
Toxic cycle.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Let's move on. Let's get into the ask. So what do we got this week?
So you and I have been hard at work with somewhat of a friend, the same team, on developing our first newsletter. And so for those of you who subscribe to our site already, thank you so much. Those who are subscribed to our mail list, we haven't really used it much, I think twice maybe. and our website. We opt to send some of our blog posts, our opinion pieces on Wednesdays. We send those out to our quote subscribers there. But you and I have been working on an actual honest to God newsletter that we'll see if we get it off weekly, bi-weekly for sure, and then work ourselves to weekly. But in fact, we just met about this today. And so our ask is go to the website if you haven't already and subscribe, sameteampartners.com/subscribe. And we're working hard to get out our first issue next Tuesday.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So let's get into the hit list this week. What you doing? What you watching? What you?
Yeah. So rather than reading this week, I'm sharing because I also wrote an article outside of Same Team just today. And it's called Doge Isn't Making the Government More Efficient, it's just destroying people's lives. Mm-hmm. So it's my hot take on the current leadership and the fallout of that, and I think what it's causing in a lot of workplaces within our government.
Yeah. Talk about trickle down
right
impact, right? Yeah.
It just felt like that. We're talking about all of the topics of middle management and leadership, and it just like it all hit me like this is happening over here. So yeah.
Well, I have, on a lighter note, I have started to watch Yellowstone, which I don't know if you've watched that show or not, cowboy show.
I haven't.
They've done a couple offshoots that, funny enough, I actually started with the offshoots back, you know, from like 1883 and 1923 with Harrison Ford. Love that. So I thought, okay, maybe I should watch this phenomenon, you know, that's been on television. And it's good. Good popcorn stuff.
Nice. My next is watching, but it's not my typical like watching something on TV. This is actually a LinkedIn video called Pivoting in Life, How to Use Your Transferable Skills with Betty Chan, who's a friend of mine through the old Digital Project Management Network, and Sean Murphy. It just feels really relevant right now. I think a lot of us are thinking like, what are other places I can go? I know I certainly have thought like, should I get out of tech?
You know, what's interesting about that, just on a side note, a friend of mine, he and his wife are designers, and he told me that his wife, just because there's not very much work going around, she went and picked up a part-time job as a bartender in their town, and she loves it. And she actually loves it so much, she's starting to feel guilty, like, should I be okay that I like this? You know, like,
yeah,
my profession is being a designer, but I'm enjoying this. And it just kind of got me, thinking of like, heck yeah, man, like we don't have to stay in the roles that we've been in, right? It's just more of, can you feed yourself and put a roof over your head? And if you can do that,
can I be happy? Can I be happy? And that's a lot what Betty is about. So definitely check that video out.
I will. That's good. When I saw the show notes on that, I was like, do I have anything to be worried about here, Brett? But all right, my next is, I took a stab at writing something off Same Team and Same Page. And it comes from just yet another conversation of people talking about how their networks are not really helping them right now. You know, everybody's pretty much tapped out. There are people that are just not engaged at all on LinkedIn. You know, you just can't find people. And what do we do? And so I thought, right now we live in the age of, let me go to the robot and ask it what I should do or ask it for some ideas. And I thought, hey, wouldn't it be kind of funny? Like, here's the problem. And I talked to it for about half hour. And then I said, what would you, and we create these prompts to get the best answer from AI. And I thought, what's AI's prompt for a human to go recreate their network? And so I copied it verbatim, and it's actually pretty interesting. I wouldn't say there's nothing new for me in there, but it's basically a pretty good instruction guide of, it's time to go talk to new people, right?
Interesting.
Time to engage with new people. And then for a little cherry on top, I asked, what advice do you have for humans? And so I put that in there too. So I thought it was, given where it came from, it was pretty much very human-centered.
Can I just tell you, I refuse to talk to AI like that. I will not let it give me recommendations on what to do with my life.
Well, I don't usually do this. Let's be very clear. I just thought, hey, we're always concerned. Like, I see, people send me links on stuff all the time of like writing the perfect prompt. And I thought, what would have happened if we just kind of turned the table here?
Yeah.
Right. What would the computer tell us? So anyway, that's my article.
It's pretty funny. I did really quick, and I'm sorry that we're talking so much during this segment, but I did post on LinkedIn today about how ChatGPT told me it would get back to me with something tomorrow. And I was like, oh, great. So now I need a project management tool for my AI. I was like, wow, really? But yeah, that happened. So it's kind of funny. Anyway, my last link is listening, and you're probably going to laugh at me, but it's called Finally Enough Love, 50 Number Ones. Who knew Madonna had 50 number one songs? And they're all pretty great. So I've been rediscovering Madonna and some old Madonna albums because I loved her when I was a kid. I don't know about now, but I loved her when I was a kid.
I forget what the album is with the song Rain, but that was produced by William Orbit. Yes. And I go back to that at least once or twice a year just because I love William Orbit, and what he and Madonna did was magic. So it's a good album. My last one is reading, and it's a book called Super Agency: What Could Possibly Go Right with Our AI Future, by Reid Hoffman. And I stumbled onto this, kind of backed into it, but it's interesting. The things I've been working on with AI and how to collaborate with AI, I haven't read through the entire book, but Reid has his own perspective on that, you know, of essentially the better ways to use AI, right, than what most people are using it for now. So I was both interested and kind of bummed that he's, you know, written this book. But of course, you can have hundreds of books on the same topic. New to me.
By AI.
Yeah. Anyway, it's so far, it's a good book.
Awesome. Cool. Well, that's the hit list this week. What are we high-fiving and wrapping this up with?
I think you suggested this, and I thought, Chris Fulton.
Yes. High-five Chris Fulton.
High-five Chris Fulton. She's bringing immense amount of marketing expertise to our efforts. We are really good makers. We're not the best marketers. And Chris is. And so she's opened our eyes to a lot. And so, yeah, high-five to that.
Thanks, Chris. All right.
Indeed.
That wraps it up.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Go check out those Eagles.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly High Five. Like what you're hearing? Visit CMT.